T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, welcome back to the program. 301 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. will be rejoining us throughout the rest of the program today. Hope you enjoyed our visit with Austin Nola, our first Friar Friday interview of the new season. Padres and Rockies coming up. Pregame show at 5:40. We will be with you until the pregame show gets underway at 5:40. We have our countdown coming up in this hour, and we're going to focus in on the Aztecs and the run to the Final Four. That's coming up in our countdown, so stick around for that. We also have our regular segments, Chris vs. the Fans, the Big Five, and the segment we do around this time each and every day, Scraby's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. And sports betting is going to get really good here coming up with the baseball season. So I'm excited for that. We have Chris's bets that we're going to go through. And we should actually do that right now, is go through Chris's bets. Now, the Astros, you had -1.5 on the run line against the White Sox. Unfortunately, your guy, Dylan Cease, was the guy who he didn't shut out the Astros.
Why is it unfortunate? I won. Why would that be unfortunate?
Well, I don't know.
I took the White Sox.
Yes, you're right. You're right, Chris.
They won 3-2. For you.
Jeez.
They won unfortunately 3-2. For you,
yes.
Dylan Cease pitched a good game.
Sorry about that. Yes. 3-2. Astros lose that one. Dylan Cease. There was a umpire cam that I saw on Twitter, and it was awesome. It was showing right from the umpire's point of view, him throwing fastball, Dylan Cease, and throwing a knuckle curve. Just shows me how hard it is for the umpires. But anyway, you won this one. Now, the Dodgers, you had -1.5 on the run line, and they ended up doing that easy. We both took the Diamondbacks, actually. Dodgers won 8-2. And then the Angels and the A's, -1.5 on the run line. The A's actually won the game, so that didn't count at all for us because we bet.
I thought you took the A's at the last second.
I'm really bad at this. I'm really bad at this.
I thought you took the A's at the last second.
I did.
You ended up winning that one.
Thank you for correcting me.
Well, I'm just trying to get the bookkeeping right here.
Yes.
You ended up 1-2 for the day.
Yes, we
so
still.
So your record for the week is 4-5, which is much better than my record for the week, which is currently 4-8.
Oh, I didn't know you were keeping track over there. That's
nothing
nice.
To write home about for my club. I was 1-2 for the fourth consecutive day yesterday, so I have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that I can get 1 out of 3 right.
Well, yesterday we had a listener come down and meet us at Happy Does, and his name was Terry. He gave us a parlay that he put together. It was a 6-leg parlay, and unfortunately the parlay did not come to fruition in the first leg of the parlay.
Yeah.
Because it was
Isn't
Los Angeles
how it
Angels.
Often goes?
-1.5 run line.
Yeah.
And obviously we just talked about it. The A's won the game 2-1. So that is where the parlay ended right there. But thank
right.
you, Terry, for thinking of us when you were doing that. Right. Now tonight we have, we're going to bet on some of the games tomorrow in the Final Four. And the Aztecs, you know, their line, I've been watching it all week. We talked about it early in the week, but it's going to be settled here on the show at the as the Aztecs are favorites by 2.5 points in this game, Chris.
Yeah, well, you know I have to take the Aztecs. I mean, they have to figure out a way to win by three. That's not a guarantee in this game. I mean, you know it's going to be a low-scoring, tight game. And if the Aztecs are going to win, it's going to be a low-scoring, tight game. The odds are not in the Aztecs' favor to win the game, you know, 80-76.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't seem like it will go that way. If it's a fast-paced game like that, up and down, lots of three-pointers, lots of offense, probably going to favor Florida Atlantic. So Aztecs are looking for a game in the 60s. I think they keep the score down. It's hard to win by 3 points in a tight defensive struggle. I mean, they beat Creighton by one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that could happen tomorrow. But so I wouldn't bet a ton on this, as big of an Aztec fan as I am. But I will take them because I'm certainly not going to bet against them in the Final Four.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Aztecs, too. I do think they win by at least three. I think that this is a good opportunity for them to show the country that they are for real and they deserve to be there.
Yeah, so. But if they didn't and I'm not disagreeing with you because I think a lot of people are still waiting to see, you know, what the Aztecs are made of. But if they didn't prove that they're a good team by beating Alabama, then you're being completely unfair to underrate them now.
You absolutely are.
There isn't
unfair.
A whole lot they can do to get any. I mean, they could win the game by 30 tomorrow, and people who are not impressed with their win over Alabama are going to say, well, so what? They beat a 9 seed.
Yeah.
You know, they're still going to hold it against
exactly.
them. You know, they're only here because they beat a 13 and a 12. And they got a break, and they only had to play a 6 seed in Creighton. Now they're playing a 9 seed. But those people are conveniently forgetting that they beat the number one team in the tournament already.
Exactly. So. I agree with you 100%.
Thank you, Scraby. I feel much better
100%.
Now. I feel better that you're massaging my my ego over here.
Now, UConn is the favorite to win it all. I just actually, it's on the TV right now. To win the title, they're minus 125. San Diego State is plus 400. So UConn in this game against Miami, though, they're 5-point favorites, UConn is. So I'm going to go... I don't know how long UConn can keep their run going. But I guess I have to go with UConn because they have been so good. I'm gonna say that they win, and they win by at least six, Chris.
Now you're taking UConn minus the points here.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been paying any attention to the tournament, of course you would take UConn here. They've won their four games by an average of 22.5 points, which is absolutely astonishing.
Yes, I know.
They blew out Gonzaga by 30. There's nothing to suggest that Miami of Florida is going to be able to stay with them.
True.
Except for the fact that Miami has turned in a couple of remarkable comeback wins in this tournament, not the least of which was last week against Texas. And they're down by 13 points with 13 minutes to play in the Elite Eight. And they come back and win the game by 7. They outscored them by 20 the last 13 minutes of the game. They also closed their game against Drake in the first round with a 16-1 run. They were down 8 points in that game late and ended up winning by 7. My point is this Miami team is not going to quit. They're not going to go away. No matter how big of a margin UConn gets, I think Miami's going to fight to the end, and I think you could have a backdoor cover here where Miami is down by 10, 12, 14 points, and they keep on playing the game, and they get to the finish, and UConn's winning by 5 or 4. So I'm going to take Miami plus the points
right.
here.
I guess the only reason I mean, I love a good comeback story, but how many times can you come back in the same tournament?
Hopefully for Miami, more than once or twice.
Point.
And I'm also rooting for our guy Jesse Agler here.
Yes.
I really want to see an Aztec-Miami final just so that the booth is crazy on Monday night.
Oh, it's going to be insane.
And Tony Gwynn Jr. and Jesse Agler are trying to call a Padre game while their two alma maters are playing for the national title.
It's going to be absolutely insane.
So I'm
insane.
Trying to keep that hope alive by picking Miami here.
All right, so should I? I'm gonna. Someone asked me yesterday if I should start or if I would start picking the score of the Padres game again.
Oh God!
And I'm gonna give it a go for like maybe a week and see how bad I feel.
Really,
at the end of next
you're
week.
Gonna try to do this? Again.
Yes. So I'm gonna say the Padres win 6-2 tonight.
6-2 Padres tonight is your pick.
Yes. Now,
all right, last time Scraby did this, it took him until about September. To it was, pick a game correctly.
It was torture, but it was also kind of fun at the same time.
It was pretty funny that you finally got one.
Yeah, it came to like game 130 that I finally got it.
Yeah.
All right. What are your three bets?
We got our three bets for tonight. As I said, the records have not been good for us this week. You're 4-5. I'm 4-8. So Again, gamble responsibly out there.
Yes.
Here are the three games on the board for tonight. First, the NCAA Women's Final Four. LSU, a 3 seed, taking on Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a 1 seed, but regardless of the seedings, LSU is still a 2-point favorite.
That's strange.
Over Virginia Tech in this game. LSU played in the SEC this year. The only team better than them was South Carolina, so I think that's one of the reasons you're getting this kind of an odd spread here.
That is.
But LSU is favored by 2 points over Virginia Tech. The other thing I think they're putting the spread on is the fact that Kim Mulkey is the head coach of LSU. She's been to the Final Four many times as a head coach at Baylor. She has a lot of experience in this spot. So I think they're giving her the nod and making her team a 2-point favorite here. Do you want me to go first so that you can copycat me?
No, you know what?
Because if I was you, I wouldn't necessarily copycat me. I'm not very good.
So you're going to take LSU is what I'm thinking.
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty hard to pass on a number one seed that's getting points.
I was going to say Virginia Tech is going to use this as motivation and they're going to win.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I just threw my pen halfway across the room by accident.
Va-Tech you're going to take. Wow. I didn't think when you were talking about all of that you were going to say Va-Tech, but you are.
So we're both going to go with Va-Tech and take the 2 points
here.
The second game, and my second game, is really interesting. South Carolina, which is going for its 42nd or 3rd straight win. They're undefeated this year.
We watched the game in here the other day.
Yeah, they're going to be taking on Caitlin Clark and
this is a great
Iowa
game.
Hawkeyes. Caitlin had 40 points and a triple-double in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
She is, insane, one of the best players in the country. I don't know that she's the most dominant player in the country. South Carolina's got all the most dominant players in the country. They play on the block, and they're so big, they're so tall, they're so strong. It's very difficult to get anything in the paint against South Carolina. That's why they're undefeated. But if anybody could do it, you'd think maybe Caitlin Clark and Iowa can pull off the upset. The spread is 11.5 points.
Wow, that's a lot.
For South Carolina over Iowa in this Final Four game. Every time I pick against, well, I don't. I picked against South Carolina in the last game against Maryland, and Maryland got a backdoor cover.
They did.
So I'll take Iowa. Why not?
I got to root
for the upset.
That's why I'm taking it, because Caitlin Clark is too good to let them get beat by 20.
Get them blown out by 12 or more.
Yeah,
so
I'm going to go with Iowa.
That just gives you an idea of how great South Carolina is right there.
You're
in the Final Four. These are the two of the four best teams in the nation.
Yeah.
And you're favored by 11.5 points. They're not even considering it to be a close game at all.
It's almost like, come on, really? I'd rather watch, just name South Carolina the champion. Give me another team in there.
That's what people are thinking. We'll see if it turns out that way. All right, final game on the board for us tonight. The Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio Spurs. I put this in because you love these big spreads like this.
Okay, all right, here, let's hear
Golden State is at home. We know how good the Warriors are.
So they're going to be favored.
They're going to be huge favorites because they're playing the San Antonio Spurs, one of the worst teams in the NBA. Golden State Warriors, this is the biggest spread as I've seen in an NBA game this season. 18.5 point favorite over the San Antonio Spurs. What say you about this, Scraby?
Ooh, that's a lot.
I don't know if it's the highest spread of the year in the NBA. Probably not. Maybe there was one larger, but
I haven't seen too many
bigger than this. So.
No, this is like an NFL spread being like 17 points or something
like
that.
Yeah, this is a lot for
an NBA
game.
It's just so much.
Who are you going with here? 18.5 points.
Warriors are great at home.
They haven't missed a shot at home this season. I mean, everything they shoot goes in when they're at home.
I'm going to go with the Warriors.
You're going to still take the Warriors.
Yeah, that's crazy, but I'm going to go with them.
18.5 points. It seems like a lot, but all you have to do is go on one little run of about 3 or 4 three-pointers, and
that
spread
Steph
goes
Curry
from 10 to 22 and like that.
Yeah.
I'll take the Spurs, though, just because I think 18.5 is just
It is a lot,
much.
And I'm not comfortable with taking the Warriors minus 18.5.
18.5. You know what? The bad thing about doing this, picking the Spurs, is that I'll check the score later on tonight. At the end of the first quarter, the Warriors will lead like 42-10, and I'll be like, I've already lost. That's how big the difference is in those two teams. All right, there's my three.
All right, good
stuff.
We'll
let you know how it goes on Monday.
Yeah.
And then we'll start over 0-0 on Monday.
That's a good idea.
Which I'm looking forward to because we were so bad this week.
That is a really good idea, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Daily Gambit in the books. We'll take a break. Come back. Much more Gwen and Chris still ahead. We will check some traffic at some point during this next break.
At the end of the break, yes.
At the end of the break, Scraby says. We will check some traffic. And we'll get you some other news and notes from around the sporting world when we come back. Still ahead in this hour, our countdown, talking about the Aztecs and their amazing trip to the Final Four. Stick around. Tony will rejoin us for that on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
3:22 is the time. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. He'll join us again here for the countdown, which is coming up in about 10 minutes. Top five things that we like about the Aztecs being in the Final Four. It's coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll also have Tony with us a little bit later for our Big Five. We got Scraby's Fantastic Friday Facts.
I'm ready.
An hour away.
Yes.
You've got an hour to make any last minute adjustments.
Oh, no, I don't need any. I'm ready to go.
Don't need any adjustments.
Yeah.
You're ready to go.
I am.
All right. I will be the judge of whether or not they're fantastic or not.
Okay. A
couple of quick baseball notes. You know that Justin Verlander was placed on the injured list already yesterday on opening day by the Mets. You probably heard that Max Fried had to leave the game early for the Braves, fourth inning hamstring injury. Tweaked it while he was covering first base. There was some thought that he may go on the injured list. I don't believe he's been officially placed on the injured list yet. And there was one other big injury in the ballgame yesterday. Wilson Contreras, the St. Louis Cardinals' new catcher, was hit in the kneecap by a 103-mile-per-hour pitch.
Oh, man.
Actually, it glanced off his knee, but it still came in at 103 miles per hour. He went for an MRI today. It did come back negative.
Ugh.
So that is very good news for Wilson Contreras.
That sounds brutal.
He was behind the plate, and his pitcher teammate Jordan Hicks threw a sinker that went low and to the left. Contreras was unable to catch the pitch, and it hit the dirt before it careened off his knee. Still protected by a shin guard, but it's coming in at 103 miles per hour.
No, I don't like any part of this.
Just a little reminder of how ridiculous these guys are in Major League Baseball. And I know that Vladimir Guerrero got a two-run single off of Jordan Hicks to help the Blue Jays win that game. So imagine this guy, Jordan Hicks, throws so hard that Wilson Contreras, a Major League Baseball all-star catcher, can't even catch the pitch. And yet Vladimir Guerrero on another one can hit the pitch.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. It really is. I mean,
come on.
103, there's zero chance I'm even swinging by the time the ball
swinging,
gets there.
Swinging, yeah, but imagine trying to catch it and having it bounce into your knee.
And that's why he is paid a lot of money to do what he does, because there's not many people in the world who can do it.
No. So Wilson Contreras, day-to-day is the official word on the Cardinals catcher. All right, Bob Melvin was on the morning show today.
He sure was.
Part of our Friar Friday. Bob Melvin, the skipper.
The skipper.
On with Ben Higgins, my new partner.
Your new partner for one day tomorrow
be
at
my new
Senior Grubby's.
Yes, we're broadcasting live tomorrow at Senior Grubby's. 1 to 3 o'clock if you want to make a note of it and come by and visit us prior to the Aztecs Final Four game. We'll be broadcasting there in Carlsbad. Ben and I. But Ben was with his regular partner this morning.
He was.
Stephen Woods.
Yes.
I believe is his name.
That is.
Thus the name of the show, Ben and Woods.
Yes, thank you.
It's a very popular show.
Yes, it is.
And Bob Melvin was on. What did he have to say, Scrape? You got
well,
some stuff over
I
there.
Do, I do. They asked him a lot of great questions, but I wanted to get a little bit more information on what he thought about Blake Snell's start last night.
Yeah, you know, just a little bit. You know, when he had make pitches, he did.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a good thing. You know, you'll see velocities ramp up. Certainly early in the season, we're going to take it a little easier as far as pitch counts go. And really even a little uncomfortable with 93 pitches and 4+. So, you know, the stuff was good. You know he's going to, you know, get the command a little bit better each and every time out. That's, you know, that's what the early season's about. And, you know, he kept us in the game during his portion.
I know that he had a high pitch count again. And I know that he didn't recapture second half Blake Snell like we all thought he would. But I do believe that he did not pitch that poorly last night that there's anything to really be worried about.
No, he threw too many pitches, but you know what? This is what Blake Snell does a lot. I mean, he throws a lot of pitches.
He does.
And, you know, when you asked me yesterday who do I think was going to be the first Padre to get a win,
yeah,
I predicted it to be Steven Wilson
you
in
did,
relief.
Yeah.
I didn't think Blake Snell was going to make five innings just because I didn't think he'd be 100% sharp first game, and he always throws a lot of pitches. Now, the good news is when he left the game yesterday, he had done a good job of keeping the Padres in it, right? He was in a second and third nobody out situation in the second inning because of an error by Ha-Seong Kim. And he struck out the side.
Yeah.
Didn't give up a run, right? He struck out, what was it, 9 in 4+ innings.
Yes,
so,
he
I
did
mean,
strike
he had some,
out 9.
He had some really good stuff, but just too many pitches to get through those five innings, and he didn't quite make it. But when he left the game, the score was still 2-1 Padres.
Yeah,
it was the bullpen
right.
that really let him down. I mean, the home run that was hit by Crone, two of those runs were charged to Blake Snell. But Nabil Crismat might be the first guy to tell you that's his fault.
Yeah.
So...
Poor Nabil.
I didn't think Snell was that bad last night. He just threw a few too many pitches, but he pitched out of some tough spots.
The morning show also asked Bob Melvin about Xander Bogaerts' big debut. Two extra base hits, first hit as a Padre, an extra base hit. What did Bob Melvin think about that?
Yeah, I mean, terrific player. So, and it's always nice to get off to a good start right away in front of the home crowd because, you know, the new guys, they don't know as much about, and when you roll out there and get three hits right away, it certainly gives the, you know, the fans an opportunity to see what his skill set looks like. And there's a lot to like about Xander Bogaerts. So I know he's excited about getting a chance to lead off tonight. He may be versatile where he hits in the lineup. You know, once we get Tatis back, we'll probably have a little bit more of a set lineup, you know, right, left, but a little different tonight. And I know he's excited about getting a chance to lead off.
Yeah, speaking of the new lineup for tonight, Scraby and I will have it for you in its entirety here
Ooh.
In just a few minutes, so stick around. But you got a little hint there that Xander Bogaerts today will be in the leadoff spot. Both lineups are in for tonight's game. The Rockies are not changing their lineup at all. They're going with the almost exact same lineup as they went last night. They're switching their 5 and 6 hitters in the order, but it'll be the same starting 9 for Colorado after they won the opener. Padres have made quite a few little alterations, and we'll tell you about those in a few minutes.
Yeah, the last thing I want to play for you guys here, Bob Melvin with the morning show, Ben and Woods. Domingo Tapia.
Tapia.
He had a tough debut last night for the Padres. He gave up 2 home runs, but he ended up getting through his outing. Bob Melvin was asked, what did he tell Tapia after his outing?
You know what? Just pat him on the back when he came out of the game. I'm sure he was stunned. You know, you look at his performance in spring training
yes.
and basically gave up nothing, was out 5 minutes at a time. He was so efficient. So, you know, you give up a homer and that gets your attention. You give up another one and then you kind of have to collect your thoughts again and get back to doing what you're doing. His command was better after that.
Yep.
We needed 2 innings out of him, which we got last night. So he'll be better next time out.
That's right. Don't forget Robert Suarez. Not a great first outing last year in his Padre debut. Turned out Robert Suarez was a pretty good pitcher. Doesn't mean Tapia is going to be that good, but it also means that it's a little early to give up on the guy, giving
yeah.
up a couple of home runs. Especially, I think anybody might have given up a home run to C.J. Crone the way he was swinging the bat last night.
Yeah, I really thought
he was crushing the ball.
I really thought Denelson Lamet was going to come in the game just because, and he didn't give up any runs, but I felt like, okay, the Padres are going to have some good vibes come their way.
Do you remember our back page segment yesterday about the Rockies
yes,
pitcher?
Yes, I do.
What's his name?
Johnson?
No, not Johnson. He pitched last night in the seventh inning. Lawrence. Justin Lawrence.
Oh, okay, yes.
You talked about how this guy's got a sidewinding delivery.
It's like a frisbee.
He throws a 95-mile-per-hour frisbee.
Yeah.
Nobody can touch it. And the first thing I said is, nah, don't worry about it. This guy's not very good. What did he do last night?
I think he struck out Xander Bogaerts.
He struck out the side.
I didn't know he struck out the side, but I knew he had some strikeouts.
Came in the eighth inning and just struck out the side. 1, 2, 3. Wiped out everybody. So don't ever listen to me.
No, when I heard Xander Bogaerts go down, I was like, yes! At least I got one strikeout.
He got 3 strikeouts, so you were right about Justin Lawrence. I guess he does have some nasty stuff for the Colorado Rockies.
It's just funny how these guys can just, in one offseason, come up with a pitch or something. I don't know what happened.
Well, we'll see how long it lasts for Justin Lawrence, but he got off to a great start.
It's so hard in the beginning of a baseball season to realize there's so much time left.
Yeah.
One game,
it's hard to say it doesn't mean anything,
but it does.
Because it means something. Sure, Bob Melvin said so after the game. He said, look, I mean, I know it's one game, but I really, really wanted to win this one. We wanted to get off to a good start, make a good first impression, and we were unable to do that. So we'll tell you what the Padre lineup is in response to that when we come back, and also our countdown. Stick around. It's all still to come. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Back with us for the countdown here in just a second. Welcome back, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Gwynn and Chris program, 97.3 The Fan, 3:38 is the time. We're a couple of hours away from Sammy Leavitt and his Padre pregame show. Did you catch any of it?
I did.
Sam Leavitt's pregame show yesterday, was he on
point?
Oh,
not the pregame. I caught the postgame.
Caught a little postgame,
yeah, on
from
the drive
Sammy.
Home.
Was he fending off the
not
complaining
really.
Phone callers?
No, not really.
People
were
all right.
Now
last
Sam's
night?
Sam's pretty good about listening. He's really good at listening,
yeah,
and letting you vent.
Yeah, he's the Fraser Crane of sports talk radio.
I guess you're right.
Please call the post game show. I'm listening.
Yes, I'm listening.
Attaboy,
Sammy. Oh, we do have that here for Odyssey as well. I'm listening, but so it makes sense in multiple different.
That's
ways.
Right. Sammy's got it covered. He'll have the pregame show at 5:40 following our get together here this afternoon. The Padres have a lineup in for tonight's game. We're going to go to our own in-house public address announcer, Matt Scraby, for the announcement. What do you have?
Batting leadoff. Leadoff.
Leadoff.
All right, I'll stop doing that. Xander Bogaerts is batting leadoff at shortstop. Juan Soto batting second in left field.
Soto.
Manny Machado, third base, batting third. Nelson Cruz getting his first start of the season for the Padres. DH, Jake Cronenworth at first, batting fifth. Austin Nola catching, batting sixth. Ha-Seong Kim playing second, batting seventh. Grisham playing center, batting eighth. And Azokar making his season debut for the Padres in right field, batting ninth.
Yeah, so with the left-handed pitcher on the mound today, a couple of things. One, Grisham is not in the leadoffs because he's a lefty, going up against a lefty. So they drop Grisham down to eighth. They put Bogaerts in the leadoff spot. That's where Fernando's going to be when he comes back, at least from everything we're told,
yes,
and everything we can are led to believe. But tonight, that's Bogaerts. Nelson Cruz starts at DH instead of Matt Carpenter, of course, with the lefty, the right-handed bat in there. Austin Nola moves up to the sixth spot. And Azokar gets a game back there in right field.
I had a lot of Azokar fans disappointed yesterday that David Dahl got the start, but you guys explained it pretty well.
Well,
about him being a former Rocky and probably knowing what they're doing over there.
I think there were
a couple
of things. Yeah, number one, Dahl, familiarity with Germán Márquez potentially.
Yeah.
And just being a veteran player and facing a right-handed pitcher. So tonight, Azokar will get the call. All right, time now for our weekly feature. It's called The Countdown.
Love
it. And, of course, we're pretty excited about the Aztecs being in the Final Four. But what exactly excites us about it?
It's now time for Gwynn and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, every Friday we count down a topic, and a lot of time, most of the time it's sports related. Sometimes we go off the grid, but today we're going to keep it sports. It is Final Four weekend here in San Diego. I make that sound like it happens every year. It's never happened before, okay? It is Final Four weekend in San Diego. The Aztecs are getting set to play their Final Four game tomorrow in Houston against Florida Atlantic. We are going places that we have never heretofore gone, guys, and so for today's countdown, top five great things about the Aztecs being in the Final Four. Great things about the Aztecs being in the Final Four.
Took this very serious.
I had about 150 reasons that I had to pare down to only five.
If you're a true San Diegan, you probably have a boatload.
I did.
I mean, I can think of a million reasons why this is a great thing, but trying to pare it down to five, that was my that was the toughest part for me. But I'll start. I think number five is the Pac-12 and how this just nothing's automatic in college sports, but I mean, if this doesn't get the Pac-12 to make sure that they get San Diego State, and if the Pac-12 somehow dissipates and isn't there, then the Big 12 ought to come just running and calling for San Diego State. I mean, I know that the Big 12 got the University of Houston in part because they're a great basketball program. Well, as great as they are, they're not in the Final Four this year. So I think, this appearance in the Final Four legitimizes the Aztecs' ability to get into one of these power conferences. So I think that's at least the number five reason why I'm happy they're there.
My number five is going to be Brian Dutcher getting the exposure for the guy that he is. The guy that is a mentor, the guy who actually seems like he cares about his players, the guy who, when he says to them, "I'll be there for you," he is there for them. So I really have appreciated what he has been saying on all of his post-game interviews, and all the attention that he's getting is due for him and the program. So that is my number five.
We knew what kind of great coach he is.
Exactly.
Now a lot of people are getting to find out. Agreed.
Tony?
My number five reason is because the city of San Diego deserves it.
Yeah,
Tony. We have been hit over the head with the most ridiculous outcomes. You could argue in sports history in some cases.
Yep.
And I'm talking all sports that have been a part of the San Diego tradition. We deserve this, especially when you consider 2020 being wiped out, which was probably our next best chance to get to this point. I just think the city deserves it. That's number five on my list.
Number four.
All right, number four for me is being in the spotlight. You know what? Tomorrow, Jim Nantz is going to be calling the game.
Hello,
Grant
friends.
Hill's going to be calling the game. Bill Raftery is going to be calling the game. You get the number one crew. You're the only game in town. You're the only game in the country, really, tomorrow. I mean, that's it. All the focus can be on San Diego State Aztecs basketball for at least 2.5 hours. You're at the top of the sport. The Final Four is remembered forever and ever and ever. You can always say, "Do you remember this Final Four or that Final Four?" A lot of naysayers out there say, "You remember that Final Four where there were a bunch of no-name teams?" Well, you know what? Yeah, some people might remember that, and San Diego State's going to come up. So being in the spotlight is the number four reason why it's great for San Diego.
My number four, you guys know how much I love this guy. He was in my top five Aztecs of all time. Nathan Mensah's 12 block shots in the tournament, 5 of them against Alabama. I just love Nathan Mensah. I don't know. I just love seeing him block shots. So I'm going to go with Nathan Mensah's 12 block shots. Tony's really.
That's what you boiled down your five to?
Yeah, but I got some more.
What's great about it? The fact that the people are going to get to see him block shots?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, because you get to watch him block shots, and he's blocked 12 of them.
Nice. 12. Yes, count them.
I couldn't find the stat in time, but I was trying to see if he led the tournament in block shots.
I hope he is, for your sake.
I honestly figured that one of these is going to be Chris saying, "I love Agueka rope." Like, that's what I thought.
It might
so that's
be.
Why I put Nathan Mensah on there.
It might be. I still got three to go.
I'm willing to go out on a limb that that's not going to be one of Chris's.
Well,
but
I took
we
this
go.
Project very differently.
Sounds like it.
Number four, best reason. I don't know if Chris said it. I think Scraby said it. Coach Dutcher. Mm. As I told you guys, really Coach Dutcher and in some ways, Coach Fisher as well. Coach Fisher got the recognition, but I don't know that he got the type of recognition he deserved for building this program on a national scale. We understand it here. But I think Dutch, man, you watched him, as I told you, walk around campus and personally invite people.
That's still crazy to
game.
Me.
Personally invite people to games. I think he deserves it. He'll never sit there and want to take credit for any of it. He certainly included Coach Fisher when he got on the mic. I love the fact that he was shooting his shot the other day, or it was before we got to the Final Four, but he was shooting his shot about, you know, we should be able to basically pick the conference we want to move to. I loved that. The best states. But, yes, he and Coach Fish, they deserve all of the love they're getting right now.
Number three.
All right, number three for me is kind of just a carryover from what Tony just said. It's all about Coach Fisher. And one thing about Steve Fisher is he's not in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I think anybody who's been around him feels like he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for what he's accomplished. I mean, this guy won his very first six games as an NCAA basketball coach, and those six games happened to be in the tournament, and he won a national championship before he was even hired as the full-time head coach of Michigan. For what he did to bring in together the Fab Five, but mostly for what he's done here in San Diego, it's an absolute miracle that he has turned this program around from one of the worst in college basketball, helped them get to a stage where Brian Dutcher could carry them on to the Final Four. For Coach Fisher, I would like to see him in the Hall of Fame, and this is a feather in his cap, what his Aztec program has become, even in his absence.
All right, my number three, since I took this a little bit different, I thought, never mind. It's going to be Lamont Butler. I've enjoyed watching Lamont Butler. Darion Trammell actually tweeted the other day that he was the GOAT of the tournament. I don't know why Tony's laughing. Lamont Butler, 41 points in the tournament, 17 for 33 field goals, 14 rebounds, 15 assists, 5 steals, and he made the South Region All-Tourney team. So I thought that
I wonder if he
cool.
leads in any of those categories.
I don't think he does, but...
where'd you get your stat pack from?
Darion Trammell.
Darion Trammell is a scraby source on this
No,
one.
He tweeted that Lamont Butler is the GOAT because he made the South Region All-Tourney team.
Word.
Did you understand the question today for the big countdown?
I guess not.
Countdown?
It never fails that one of us doesn't understand the assignment, and it's me this week.
It's a lot funnier when it's you, though.
It is funnier when it's you. Yeah, the assignment was the top five reasons you're happy that the Aztecs are in
the
NCAA tournament, and you're telling me Lamont Butler. So I guess you're just happy for Lamont Butler. Maybe you should be happy for Mr. Butler, who listens to the program and is a big follower of
this
show.
This is what Chris texted. Top five thing, not things, but thing.
No,
all right,
he
you
did
know what
not.
I meant.
No,
it
I'm looking at it. Top five things, thing about the Aztecs being the Final Four.
Okay.
So I felt like that was you guys were talking about this tournament, but anyway.
All right, I see. So you took it to mean the top five things that they've accomplished in the tournament?
Yes.
I see. Well,
that's
I
deep.
Don't know how you came up with that. Tony, go back to the real countdown.
That was the never mind.
Top three.
I hate you guys sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. Screaming. You make my life so fun, man. I appreciate you very, very much, man. But I'm sad you make me happy.
Okay,
that's your
good.
True friend.
Good.
True friend.
Good.
I think Chris mentioned this one earlier, but this is a big one for me, and that's the chance to possibly pick the conference you want to migrate to. I just think that they have put themselves in a position – where they are so attractive now, especially being on this national stage in a Final Four. I honestly think when you look at the progress the football program has made, you look at the progress the basketball program has made, obviously, why wouldn't you want a school that's on the West Coast? If you're looking for one of those schools, San Diego State's your school. USC's gone. They're taken. UCLA's gone. After that, it's the Aztecs right now.
I'm not going to say anything, so Chris, take it away.
Well, you got to play the numbers.
Oh, sorry.
Number two.
Number
He's
two
rattled.
I am a little bit. I'm rethinking 2-1.
All right, good. Number two for me is that Tom Petty was right.
What?
Tom Petty, the great songwriter and musician Tom Petty, once sang that even the losers
get lucky sometimes. And this is proof that that is accurate.
Are you calling San Diego
State losers? I am not calling San Diego State losers. I am calling the city of San Diego a city that has had to suffer as many heartbreaking losses as any other city in the country. So we are not losers, but we have lost quite a bit. And this time, the luck went our way. The tournament has broken out nicely for the Aztecs. Some of the key teams have been eliminated in their path. They got the call the other day at the end of the game against Creighton.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, that never happens
to San
Diego.
That never happens. We don't get that call.
Everybody knows that those things never break our way. So Tom Petty told me that even the losers get lucky sometime. I never believed him until the Aztecs qualified for the Final Four. So thank you,
Shout
Tom.
Shout out to Tom.
Yeah.
My number two actually does fit this whole thing, but
good.
It's okay. The exposure the program was receiving. I read a couple
articles
earlier today.
Now you're
today
getting it. That a boy.
Talking about, you're not going to love my number one then, but talking about writers, writers are now writing, they're imploring a conference to allow San Diego State in there. Like, finally, the switch has been flipped for people trying to get San Diego State into a bigger conference. That's my number two.
All right. Very good, Scrappy.
Thanks,
my number two is
I don't
level...
understand how you understood the assignment on some of the questions, but not all of
because
them.
Because I... Never mind. This is how my brain works.
I see.
All right. My turn, correct?
Yes.
Yes,
you're
we're
up.
Running out of time.
Sorry.
Sorry to rush you.
Gosh, what was I saying?
Oh, yeah. Leveling up in recruiting. We know that there's a specific type of Aztec guy that the program looks for, but I still believe there's still
leveling up.
I still believe there's another that this is going to help them push that even further than what it is right now. You see a team, you start seeing teams on TV this late in the year. They all of them, just ask Gonzaga. They all benefit in the recruiting spectrum. So I expect this another awesome reason why I love where the Aztecs are at right now.
And it's probably good for all sports, too. I mean, football, baseball, you name it, man. San Diego State getting here.
Listen, when kids pick schools, yes, they pick it because they want to go to that school, but they also pick it because, man, I want to go to a school that has a good football team, a good basketball team. Those are all attractions when you get a list of schools that are pretty close. You can have that to be a tiebreaker for sure.
Absolutely. All right, number one for me is that I'm happy. That's the number one reason.
That's what I'm talking about.
How do you understand this assignment and come up with that?
Because that answers the question.
It does.
Right to its core is that the Aztecs making it to the Final Four makes me happy. Not only me happy, but every San Diego State alum out there. You know, for everything that we have put up with, for everything we've gone through over the years, for everybody to have their moment, for everyone in San Diego that's followed this Aztec program, football, basketball, been in the school, been an alum, it's everybody's moment to shine, and I am so happy for that.
JP's calling. We'll have to finish it. My number one is not going to make you guys happy, but I do love a good story, and Darion Trammell's story is amazing. I love it when guys are told they can't do something, and then they make it their life's mission to do something that people tell them they can't do, which is what he did because everybody told him he's too small.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.